This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 621. I got confused. I'm sorry. Let me take another sip of my Bang Purple Haze energy drink here.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, yeah, tasty. I need the caffeine. I'm Brian Kilby, playing Macho Man as Diecast. We also have Rob Clay. Hey, Rob.
Hi.
Matt, a.k.a. Melvar.
Yes, I am here.
And geeking out about Samurai Showdown and Neo Geo ROM cart sizes, John DeLuna.
I measure my life in megs.
It was almost as if he was made to do a video game podcast.
I know, right? Hey, our buddy, we have a mutual friend. I'm not going to mention him on the show, but we have a mutual friend who has offered to assist in a video game podcast if you ever wanted to,
to do one. Oh, really?
Actually, there's two.
And I'd like to say for the record, Samurai Showdown 1 on the Neo Geo was a whopping 118 megs.
I think you're my only friend, only person I know that actually had a Neo Geo as a kid.
That wouldn't surprise me. It wasn't terribly common. I also regret to this day selling that bad boy.
Funny thing is, though, you can buy a one for about what you paid for that originally back in.
It's true.
Yeah, so.
It's true, boss.
Actually,
the games now. The games have appreciated. Depends
on the game. Some of them.
Yeah, some of them are.
But there's an adapter where you could play the MVS carts on it, and they're basically identical.
You're talking to a Transformers collector. Like, the details matter.
That's not the same,
Brian. It's not the same.
If you look at my video games collection, it's mostly just bare carts and no boxes or anything. So.
Yeah, well, you got to draw the line.
That's true. Hey, let's see. Anything going on? There's no, like, Diecast and I were talking pre-show. A couple things popped up that we don't have news articles to link to, but let's just go ahead and get them out of the way now. What did you want to tell us? One thing is third-party Diecast and something else.
Finally, the Generation Toys GT-08D, which is their motorcycle protectobot, or their Groove, is finally shipping. It's one of those third parties that were like, we weren't sure if these were actually all going to come out or not, because it's been so long and no one's heard anything. They're kind of one of those companies that doesn't post anything, so all of a sudden now it's shipping. So if you were looking for that, because we've gotten two so far, we've gotten Streetwise and we've gotten whatever the helicopter's name is, we've gotten him too.
Blades.
So now we're three in to this set, and the next two I'm sure are probably going to take another year for both of those, especially because everyone takes longer. But you know, everyone takes longer with Hotspot, just the way it is, because he's the center bot. But yeah, that's happening. And then we also have some official third party news, which I saw somewhere on Twitter. I don't know that I can reference it specifically, but we have a Flame Toys model kit Devastator that looks pretty cool. No one can ever get Mixmaster's foot right, though. It just looks a little off. If you go to my Twitter at Diecast2, you'll see the picture I tweeted at Jason S. Kirk, because he loves these Flame model or Flame Toys model kits. So
yeah, is this a Furai model? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I believe so.
It definitely has the same like aesthetic feeling as the Optimus Prime model we've seen him have.
Yeah, this might be the actual first one I get. Other than the foot not being right on Mixmaster, I actually do kind of enjoy this Devastator.
I think they took some stylistic license with the scrapper leg as well.
Yeah, for sure. Super anime, though.
Yeah, he's got the anime hip thrust thing going on, too, if you're into that.
so it's kind of funny. I just had to step away to answer a phone call. Kim was calling, and if she calls me during the show because she's out and about, something has to be wrong. And I was I was honestly taken aback by that. I was worried, and she must not realize what time it is. She was sending me photos of the Siege toys in the Target toy aisle, asking me which ones I had, and nice. Getting ticked off that I wasn't answering my texts. And I'm like, I have those.
That's a good wife.
Yeah, it's a good wife. Thank you, Kim. Even though I may have sound, my text response may have been snitty, I appreciate that. So yeah, that's cool that's finally, you know, coming out and all that stuff, and we have photos. Was it Don that wanted that Devastator?
Yeah, Don said he might actually get that Devastator too. So
what was the cost of it?
They're the ones that are, how much are they around? Like $40, I think.
40 to 50, I think, most of them.
It's not terrible.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah. I mean, if Devastator's in scale with those other ones, if he's larger, I can see him being more, but
yeah, no, he's don't pretty know much in yet. Scale. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm not expecting him to be crazy expensive.
Let's see here. I still thinking about Don. So this week we're short Jason. Jason's working. I'm actually worried though about Chris. He is not on. Maybe hopefully he's taking a nap or something. Usually if he's not on, he lets us know. But I sent him a tweet, and I was like, "Hey Chris, everything okay?" And then like 5 minutes later, Don retweeted it. Like it's going to get his attention more by Don retweeting it.
It's going to go viral.
Yeah, Don is also not here. Don is, I think Don's back at the hospital, but for a routine checkup on his eye. Check up from the neck up. And are we short? Eric is supposed to be here. Is back up. He's stuck in traffic. He may show up. He may not. So I'm not too worried about it. I guess we should talk about what we got this week. Diecast, hopefully you have like a million things. Did you get a million things?
I have like three things, but two of them are these. Who makes the Mechanic Studio, which I think is just another name for mech toy fans. But they're the Sideswipe and Red Alert. So I already got the G2 one, which I showed off like a week or two ago.
Those look pretty small. Are those like legend scale?
Yeah, they're legend scale. I think they're the same as the Mech Fan toys, but I'm not 100% sure. You know how they like to change their names all the time.
Yeah.
And then, there goes everything. I also got my second Motor Master. The road to train.
You want to transform this one as well?
No, this one's
now, nice. Now you need to get three so you can have one in tractor trailer mode, one is Motor Master, and one to combine into Menasor.
That's right.
Oh yeah.
Sweet.
Well, I'm getting one of two of each, one to open and one to keep sealed, and then depending on the set, I might either keep it or sell it. I'm not sure. But I'll have all five to sell together when I have my second set.
In 3 years when, you know, all five of them are out.
Yeah, but you know how Fans Toys stuff does, that their figures go up significantly. So
yeah, I'm actually contemplating getting in on that set now.
It's almost like I'm almost like Don and Dominic-ing it, and I just realized, and you know,
do you feel dirty now?
Yeah, I do.
Are you ashamed?
So
kind of.
I don't think Don would have a problem with me telling the story. I asked him what his girlfriend thought.
He might have a problem, but you're going to tell everybody.
I'm going to do it anyway. So. I asked him what his girlfriend thought about Donanomics, because I fully imagined it would be like what Kim would think about Donanomics, which would be like her eyes glazing over and, you know, telling me that I need like fewer hobbies. But apparently Don's girlfriend loves Donanomics.
Oh, yes. He actually did discuss this on the show a few weeks ago, I think.
Yeah. Oh, was that on the show? Yeah, I'm just totally surprised by that. Because I don't think Kim's the biggest fan of it. I think she's surprised by how many people are interested in Dononomics as like a field of study. But you know, I think we really need to actually write a book about Dononomics and publish that. I think we'd sell at least a dozen copies. So
I did have one more thing to mention. It's not
one
new,
more thing,
but I finally opened it. And that was the Voyager Siege Starscream.
What do you think?
I really like it. And the chest, for me, although it can pop off, it normally does not. So as much as people complained about this, which is one of the reasons I hesitated opening it, I was pleasantly surprised with how much I like this figure. It's a good toy.
People watching the live stream are now retweeting that. Hey, Chris, everything okay? Tweet. Funny. Cool. So I was actually going to mention something I have on the way, but I can't think of the name of it. So I'm not. It's a third party figure. But I'll show. I'll show it next week. It'll be here Tuesday, I think. But I picked up a couple things. One. I'm going to indulge myself with my trading card stuff real quick. In 32 years, I haven't like been seriously collecting most of that time, but I'll usually at least buy a pack or two of baseball cards, you know, even when I'm not collecting just to see what they look like. But in 32 years, I finally opened up a pack and in the wild got my first autograph card. So, you know, that made me very
nice.
Happy. Yeah. It's some guy I've never heard of who plays for the Mets. But, you know, that's fine. I've been posting videos on Periscope of me opening up packs. I did one a couple days ago of ALF. I've got a couple more on the way. But next week, though, I just want to share this off because I think this will be of the most interest to people. I'll be opening these, which includes, I think, a couple packs of Garbage Pail Kids Series 4. Which actually I just had laying around the house. Years ago, I bought several boxes of stuff. Garbage Pail Kids Series 8. Pack of Series 5. Pack of Series 10. And a pack of Trash Can Trolls, which was something that Topps did in the 90s to capitalize on the troll craze. So... But I have on my Twitter, I have like the schedule of when I'm going to be opening stuff up. I'm going to be opening up some movie cards, I think, tomorrow, either movie or TV. So, but going to Transformers, last week I showed off the box. I haven't applied stickers yet, but I did go ahead and open up my G1 Skylynx. And a nice, fresh, minty Encore is so much nicer than my Junker Skylynx that I had. Hmm. Very nice. Bright white plastic, of course. Joints are tight. Electronics work. It's makes me very happy. Of course, Skylynx is one of my favorite characters, so I had to have that. Going back to trying to pick up all the Chug stuff that I missed, I realized that I did not buy nearly as many of the early figures as I thought that I did. I just was not being a completist at that point. So I realized I did not have Inferno.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so didn't have Inferno.
He was actually hard to find.
Yeah. What was that?
He was actually hard to find when he originally came out.
That's a really good toy. I have that, the Grapple, and the Artfire.
Yeah, I've got Artfire and Grapple. Now I have this. And spoilers for next week or the week after, I have the Henke version coming as well.
Huh.
And speaking of
Henke. Do you have the BotCon mold, the Pyro?
Yes, I do.
Okay, excellent.
Yes, I do. I forgot about that one. And another Henke toy that I picked up. I originally got my original one from Matt, Ironhide. Hmm. So still, it's still a crummy toy for the most part, but the paint apps are nice on it.
Hmm. The darker red really helps that toy too.
Yeah.
As much as a color can.
Yeah. Honestly, I'd forgotten just sort of how weird he is. It's not as weird as the G1 toy, but like it seems like back then with the folks that were working on, Aaron was still at Hasbro at this point. It seems like the team was more creative, may not be the way to put it. I'll say creative, but probably more daring in the way that they would do transformation schemes.
Well, that particular wave came right after all the stuff they had developed for the movie line. Mm-hmm. So they were kind of experimenting, mixing styles together.
Yeah. The upper torso, pretty easy to transform. The legs, a couple of things kind of get in the way. That's sort of a pain for me. And once you remember how to do it, it's easy. But it's just one of those things where stuff may pop off in the process of remembering how to do it.
I'm actually kind of a fan of that robot mode, but the SUV mode is just a horrible panel seam disaster.
So I'm actually, I realize I don't have the Ratchet. So I need to pick that up. And is the Hankei version noticeably different with those two, like they are with Ironhide?
I'm not sure, but
I think
one,
so.
One of those, I think, either the Ratchet or the Ironhide comes in a 3-pack as well with Hound and something else.
Yeah. They were released 2 or 3 times.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's something to check out. And I said it. Other than some video games, that's all I picked up. So, Rob, did you pick up anything?
About the only thing that's even semi-pertinent is... when ThinkGeek had their big clearance sale a week or so back, I got the Robot Damashi Bracer Phoenix off of that for like $7. And I still haven't seen Pacific Rim 2, actually. But I like the figure. I still like how Bandai does action figures. I just wish I could afford them more often. And it's a decent toy, especially for $7 with, you know, some really good articulation. So that's about all I've gotten robot toy wise lately, but I'm pretty happy with it.
So cool. Checking out the chat, a couple things. Our buddy Jared Hebert said that 401 on Inferno is not Rhode Island's area code. Which it's kind of funny that Rhode Island would have one area code, but it's Rhode Island. So, and another person, action figure expert, asked if I had the Hotspot repaint of Inferno, and yes, I do.
Oh, I forgot about that too. Yeah. That was the GDO.
Yeah, I've got that one.
So yeah, I completely forgot. That's the problem when I'm buying toys. If I don't have it written down, it's hard to remember what I have when I don't. That's why I end up having like 5 of the Mega Constructs Beastman figures. So if anybody needs one, let me know.
I'm lucky. I pretty much only have to keep to know the ones that are currently in the store.
Yeah, I tend to look for stuff that, I mean, I guess I get most of the stuff that comes out. Except for like the studio series, and actually I don't get to most. I get all of the generation stuff. So it should be easier for me to keep track, but it's not. I'm old.
I mean, you're also going back and filling in years old gaps, so that then becomes kind of hard to remember.
Yeah,
I think, and I'm sorry if I'm wrong, guys at Unicron.com, but I think Unicron.com's app helps you track your collection. If I'm mistaken, there may be. I think it does. So I need to utilize that. I have fallen in love with the Collectors with a Z.com video game app, which you can't see it here, but it basically sorts everything by console. You can put in what you have, what you don't have in your wish list, and you can flip it from wish list to collection. It only took me about 2 hours to load everything in. So I really need to start utilizing a collecting app like that. I also picked up the collectors.com comic collectors app and their movie collectors app and the books as well. But yeah, it's pretty cool. They're like $15 each, and that's like for a lifetime of updates and everything. So as much as I utilized this, that was a bargain.
So John's just added a helpful comparison between Henkei and Generations Ratchet for you, Brian, in our personal chat here. And yeah, you need them both.
Yeah. They're, I need
they're pretty
both.
Substantially different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't realize they were that different.
Pretty different. America is on the left.
Yeah. I mean, the chrome on the Henkei version gives it away.
Yeah. Although the kids may not know that, Brian, these things are what, like 10 years old, 12 years old?
13.
This was the 2008 wave, I think.
Okay, man, the screw holes look bad on that toy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, I didn't even see them until you called them out.
Yeah. Me neither. Yeah. Hey, just heads up, guys, if... my throat may give out, so I may start talking like this. So if I get quiet, okay. Just like tap the screen or tap your earbuds and I'll get louder. So, let's see here. Matt, did you get anything other than that disgusting orange Coke that you're drinking?
Orange vanilla Coke, Brian.
Gross.
Yeah. I did get one thing. Yeah. Not Transformers related, but I did get it from tfradio.net/Amazon.
Oh, great. Tell me what you got. So,
I got a new Lightning Collection Lord Zedd. This one is better than the first one. The crest actually sits in the head is supposed to.
Ah, good.
And the one of the leg joints was a little wobbly on the first one. This one, all the joints are much better.
Did you return the first one?
No, I still have it.
So you
because I got that from Hasbro Pulse. I got this one from Amazon.
So I remember what you thought you could like reset the glue or something on the head.
Yeah, I just when I saw they went back up on Amazon for MSRP, I just went ahead and got another one.
Yeah,
this way, because he is missing some paint apps on his fingers, so now I have an extra set of hands where I can try to fix that. It makes me a little more comfortable than just trying to do it with the only set I have. But yeah, he is damn near perfect. Love him.
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, a slow week for me. So
cool.
Need to save some money. We got conventions coming up. So.
Yeah, I know. I have HeroesCon coming up. I'm going to try to go to it this year. That's in June. So that's next month. It's getting pretty close. John, anything?
No, unfortunately, I got a big bag of nothing. I'm on the hunt for that Galaxy Upgrade Optimus Prime. He's showing up in Target now. So Walmart and Target.
So that's what Kim is looking for me right now. But, you know, she remembers what the box looks like, but not the name of the character or what it looks like. So
after all these years, Optimus Prime has not soaked into her mind.
Well, she knows what Optimus... Her Optimus Prime is like the movie Optimus Prime.
Really? Yeah. Like the Bay movie?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I know.
You gotta talk to her.
She doesn't listen anymore.
Yeah, well, what you gonna do? I've said it before. All the young people that I hire at my company, they know Transformers from their childhood, and they're talking about the Bay movies.
Oh,
that's like Eric, and it hurts my heart.
Yeah.
It's very demoralizing, isn't it, John?
The sweet siren of death calls to me more and more every day.
Let's jump to the news. I guess the big item this week. I don't think we have any actual details on it, but Dengeki Hobby has coverage from the 58th Shizuoka Hobby Show, which is happening in Japan.
Oh, that's probably where I got the Flame Toys news from.
Probably.
Possibly.
So it is Black Arachnia. So we have photos of Black Arachnia in color. And
not spider mode, though. Just robot.
Just robot. And so I wish they didn't come with these display bases. I'll be honest with you. It just costs money. I don't use them. They just go in a bin. I just don't care for them, but hers has a web on it. So yay.
Isn't it very possible that she will practically speaking need this?
Possibly.
Like, those feet.
She's
going to balance well.
Those are very, very small feet with a lot of, like, stuff attached to the upper arms that's going to make her top heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the ones that I have right now, I guess, did Optimus Primal come with one? I don't think he did. Megatron had one. Dinobot had one.
The spiderweb is thematically appropriate, so I mean, this wouldn't bother me as much as something that was just completely out of left field, like a dismembered, you know.
Yeah.
Something.
But seeing this really, really, really makes me want a Masterpiece Silverbolt to go with her. It's like, I can't, like, inexorably, Black Arachne and Silverbolt are tied together, and I don't want a Black Arachne if I don't have a Silverbolt to go with it.
Do they have a Brangelina name? I can't really do that in my head. It doesn't.
So Silverbolt and Black Arachnia happened before the whole Brangelina thing, or Brangelina whatever thing.
I guess you could try Black Bolt, but I think Marvel would have something to say.
Yeah, Marvel wouldn't like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or Silver Arachnia. That sounds like a disease.
Silver Arachnia. There you go.
Yeah. It looks nice. I mean, I'll get it. I'm kind of over Masterpiece at this point, where yep. John was like a year or two ago, yeah, uh-huh. Like where he was like, you know, why do people even collect Masterpiece? I'm like, well, duh, it's obvious. I don't know if it's so obvious anymore.
Even for this like very like specific kind of subline of Masterpiece.
Is it a subline though? Because I mean, they've been coming pretty steady for a while now.
I guess I mean like what I'm doing is like I'm collecting Masterpiece Beast Wars. Like that's like, I feel like that's a specific thing. I can concentrate on that and I get it and I understand it. And so like, okay, when Jazz comes out, I'm probably not going to get it. He'll probably look awesome, but I don't feel like obligated to get him because I've picked my lane. I'm going to stay in my lane for Beast Wars. So even that, Brian, doesn't do it for you.
If they weren't so damn expensive, I would be more up for it. But I feel that they cost more than they're worth at this point.
Mm. Even Megatron? Megatron and Dinobot? Do you feel ripped off or something?
Ripped off is too strong of a word.
Uh-huh.
But if I didn't feel, quote-unquote, obligated to buy them,
uh-huh.
I wouldn't have bought them.
They do seem to be quite pricey and frighteningly fragile, according to some people.
I wish I would have waited for the KO, and because the KO is roughly like $60 Whoa. For Dinobot.
Yeah, if it wasn't for the podcast, I wouldn't be buying them.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Would you still be buying Masterpiece G1, whatever you want to call it?
Well, no, because they aren't making any more because they're making Beast Wars stuff right now, which is my problem with Masterpiece currently.
Well, they're making Optimus Prime Hound. Again.
$450. And yeah, we've known about Hound for over a year now and we're still not anywhere near it. So I don't count that.
Like if they could just complete the 1984 Transformers line in Masterpiece, I'd be happy.
I'm greedy. I want my 85 series too. But, you know, that's just that.
Well, you know, before that happens, they're going to start perfect over world. Starscream.
Yeah, Perfect World 1986. I actually foresee the Seeker mold getting a redo quicker or sooner rather than later at this point.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. That's happening.
I'm not looking forward to buying all those Seekers again. I'll tell you that right now.
And they're going to be robot size scaled. They're going to scale with the Autobots in robot mode. So the Jets are just going to be whatever they are, size-wise.
You know, next item, I don't even know why I have it in the show notes. I really don't, but I thought somebody would care. I love the name, Damn Toys. Damn Toys Classic Series 29-inch Optimus Prime Statue. From the last night.
That's not classic. That's movie.
Yeah.
It's is nice. That movie a classic?
No.
It certainly is not.
Of the Bay versus Optimus Primes, this is far and away my favorite design. Still don't like it, but it's my favorite. It's my
really.
It doesn't look like a Transformer.
Yeah,
it's the one I dislike the least.
Looks like Ultron with some blue highlights.
Yeah, but I wouldn't buy it.
That base is huge on that thing.
I guess that adds to the 29-inch.
Yeah. How much is this going to be, roughly?
I don't know.
It knows.
Nobody knows if it's between those.
How could we ever know? We'll never know. It'll be a surprise when you check out.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these times with the statues or these ultra premium figures. Is this a statue or an ultra premium figure?
Statue. It's a statue.
It's a statue. A lot of times with the statues, we never hear any more about them other than the initial press release. And then.
Yeah. Let's see here. Generation Selects, Red Wing, we have some new info. We have a production number, I think, which E5474. So it seems like that is certainly a thing.
Still no Rainmakers, though.
Yeah. I thought we saw a photo of this.
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
Or maybe a drawing.
Okay.
Color mock-up or
so
of Red Wing?
Yeah.
There's also been like a third party Red Wing figure announced recently. You might be thinking
well,
about
actually
that.
that's the next item. That's actually why I specifically mentioned that. This one is IF-20SP Tyrant's Wings Spinal Blood Wing. I don't know.
So is it Bloodwing or Spinal?
I don't know, but it's from Iron Factory, so it's going to be pretty good.
Mm. These are so tiny.
Their stuff's good, though.
Yeah. I'm not thrilled with their seeker.
I always find the Iron Factory, like, they're good, but I always find them just a little bit scary because the tolerances are always super tight at first.
So who does the best Legend scale third-party figures? DX9?
I don't have enough to compare, really.
I like the DX9. I think the size is much better on the DX9 ones.
So they're not intercompatible, size-wise?
No, not really, no. Mm. So, I also like the Magic Square ones. They're pretty good. They're my favorite, actually, the Magic Square. Yeah, I have this jet. Mode in this Iron Factory, it's not my favorite, that's for sure.
This is a bummer. This just makes me want Red Wing in the Classics mold, which, you know, oh well, what could have been.
Yeah, because you almost have every single Classics Seeker, right?
Yeah, I'm sure I'm not alone, which means like I have like 2 dozen of that mold, so yeah. I'm in deep, man.
The only ones I'm missing are from the BotCon Wings of whatever set.
I'm missing a couple of the Henkei and the BotCon Thrust.
Ah, yeah. If you want to get it, well, yeah, I think I have the I have the BotCon box set guys, and then like the mass release ones. But anyway, I still really like that mold. It's not perfect, but I like it, and I didn't mind buying it 20 times for whatever reason.
I think I have the Henkei versions.
My fault.
The 20 times I bought it plus a couple knockoffs to get in even more colors.
Yeah. Yeah. So and the Siege Seeker mold is
not my favorite.
Yeah, it's a thing. It's happening.
At least, you know, there's finally a Voyager Seeker. I've been asking for that for years.
Yeah, well, you got it, buddy.
And I sure got it.
Okay.
Only I didn't get it.
Okay, what else do we have news-wise? Not a whole lot. Actually, one more item. I actually debated on whether or not to put this one in the news, since it's not really news as far as official Transformer stuff goes. But I know a lot of people like the band, the Cybertronic Spree. You'll see their stuff, videos and stuff posted on YouTube and such. They're doing a Kickstarter to where They are doing a re-record of the Transformers the movie soundtrack. And let's see here. The Kickstarter is at, their goal is like $11,000. The last I checked is like at $75,000.
They're at almost $80,000 right now.
Wow. Not too shabby.
So there are different tiers for this. Yeah, $79,000 of $11,000 goal. They introduced like $1,500 tier, where you would be like, or $1,000 tier where you become like an executive producer of the project. Yeah, I like the idea of that. So, of course, they sold out of that one, which I was surprised because, you know, $1,000 is quite a bit, but you know, even for a listening on an album, I mean, it's an indie album, so but it's, I mean, it's pretty cool.
So, Brian,
yes,
are we going to start a Patreon with a $2,000 level and you can be executive producer of RFC? Is that where this is going to end?
I've so gone back and forth on the Patreon thing over the years. I was originally so against Patreon. You know, I felt, you know, now I'm like, I'm mostly just ambivalent toward it. I mean, I would consider doing it. People ask us all the time, like, hey, you know, I would gladly give you money if you had a Patreon.
Oh, man.
And my response is paypalme.me/TFRadio if you want to donate. I know. Or tfradio.net/Amazon. I just really like the idea of monetizing the show through Amazon, you know, because Amazon literally doesn't, you know, DGAF, you know, what we say or what we do. It doesn't cost anybody any more than what, you know, that they're trying to buy. And, you know, it's in that way, it's free. But, you know, people giving money is also not bad. So I don't know. Maybe someday we'll do a Patreon if Amazon stops paying the bills. Hey, speaking of, you know what you should get at Amazon? I'm setting on it right now. So I don't think there's any secret. I work from home now. And, you know, I worked for 16 years in a Fortune 40 company in the office with a really nice office chair. So I really wanted to bring that level of quality of the office chair home. So what I didn't realize is a nice office chair is like $1,000. And nobody ever wants to spend $1,000 on an office chair. You know, that's just a ton. And typically what happens, you know, if you go to like an office store or Sam's Club or something, you know, they'll have like what looks like a really comfortable chair for like $300 or $400. And you're like, wow, this is great. You know, then it lasts like 2 years or 3 years. And that office chair that you've been sitting at, you know, sitting in for 15 years is still going and is basically brand new. So I went and bought a used office chair like the one I had in the office, and it's great. I loved it. But the way I have my office organized right now, I had to get another chair for this workstation where I do the podcast at, because it's too hard now to move the chair back and forth. And I didn't want to buy a high end office chair again. You know, being a big guy, I wanted like a big and tall chair. And, you know, those are expensive. So I just did a search on Amazon and I found a chair that I loved the marketing materials on. It was, gosh. Now, I overshot the mark with like the size of the chair. Not that I want to go into too much detail, but like this is like a high back, big and tall office chair with a 500-pound weight limit. I thought, dear God, if the weight limit of this is 500 pounds, it will last me forever. So, but I love the material. I love the material because it's got this guy who looks really fat. He's fat and happy, sitting, drinking a beer, watching TV in the chair. And I'm like, this is the chair I'm buying. The best thing was it was $160.
Nice.
So, yeah. So I took a gamble and bought it, and I love it. Mm. Like, I'm a big dude. You know, I'm north of 300 pounds. You know, I'm not. Yeah, I'm north of 300 pounds, and this thing is roomy as hell. Mm. It is super comfortable, and it's super duper sturdy. It's the sturdiest chair that I've ever owned. It's pretty amazing. $160. So I just figured, honestly, if anybody out there is looking for an office chair, especially if you're a big dude, I cannot recommend this one enough. It's $160. You can get it at tfradio.net/big chair. So nice. if you're a fat guy like me, and you know you're always worried about, you know, getting a chair that's sturdy and not paying like $1 million for it, well, $160, free shipping. It's pretty awesome. Yeah, and fat spelled P-H-A-T, like John just pointed out. So tfradio.net/big chair. Even if you're not fat, it's still super roomy. It's super comfortable. And like I said, it's super, super sturdy. I cannot see this thing giving in anytime soon. So love it. tfradio.net/big chair. And of course, you can buy anything else at tfradio.net/Amazon. But I love this chair. I can't recommend it enough. Even if you didn't use our Amazon link, and I hope you do, I would recommend this chair. So check it out. Let's see here. Rob had to drop. So I'll do what's on T-Formers. Basically, there's a review. If you go to T-Formers, Bob's Toy Reviews has the review of the Transformers Cross Ghostbusters MP10G. So I have no idea how he got his hands on it, but it's out there. And he did a review of it. That's on T-Formers right now.
Yeah, that sounds...
Anyway.
It's interesting. Yeah,
well...
And also the Transformers Cross Ghostbusters Fan Expo Dallas.
Yay, Dallas.
Yeah, covers out. Pretty nice looking. You can see more of it at tfformers.com. So. But it's got Ectotron on it, Optimus Prime, the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. I don't have spoilers for Ghostbusters, but like there's a very specific reason the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man's on in that movie. I guess in the comic, canonically, you know, he's like just a separate character, but I don't know. I don't know how he just winds up there again. Or technically, yeah, well, it's Gozer. It's he or she, however you want to put it.
Yeah, it.
Anything it wants.
That's right. Is there ever art where Stay Puft is not getting melted? That seems to be like the thing to do with it.
I want like art of him like, you know, stepping on a cathedral.
Like winning, you want art?
But he steps on a church in my town, Brian.
Yeah, Mother Puss Bucket. Sorry, still my favorite movie of all time. Yeah, but that's pretty cool. Hey, Chris isn't here. You can check him out on Twitter at ChrisRTXV, and he has photography at playwithphotography.com. He also has a Patreon. Rob had to exit. He is on Twitter at FlailThroughs. He also has a Patreon where you can pay him to do stuff in games.
Patreon.com/flailthroughs.
I'm a patron and it's totally worth it. I'm a patron of Chris as well, actually, too. So totally worth it. Rob Springer isn't here, but he's a Rubber Rob Springer on Twitter. He's at zonebase.org. We just posted a new episode of Transform Squadron, episode 9. Haven't listened to it yet, but I need to. I really enjoy listening to that podcast. I think Rob does a great job with it. I mean, not that he didn't do a good job with the other five versions of the shows, but this one, I think he's super passionate about because it ties to Zone Base. And I don't think I've ever seen Rob as excited about producing anything as he is about Zone Base. So it's really cool. Jason's not here. Jason S. Kirk. I really hope he gets out an episode of Wrestling on the Edge of Forever this week because he missed it last week.
It's already out.
Ooh, what does he talk about? Do you know? Is another Q episode?
No, I just listened to it today. It's a holodeck episode from season one.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll still listen. So
the big goodbye, I think.
Okay. Oh yeah, it's a good one, I guess. Well, relatively speaking.
And wrestling side, it's Hot Sauce Tracy Williams versus.
They're just doing
Wheeler Yuta.
They're just doing so much of his stuff, so I don't.
They're taking a break next week and doing a classic, Eddie Guerrero versus Rey Mysterio from Halloween Havoc '97.
Ooh, nice
classic.
Just to change it up a little bit. Hey, that's a good match.
It is. Eddie Guerrero is one of the greatest wrestlers who's ever lived. Rey is good too, but he's a great. He's an all-time great too, but Eddie
Rey's still doing it.
Yeah, he is. God, Ray is only a few years older than we are. I feel so old. He's like 44.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
He has a giant kid and has had like 8 knee surgeries.
Yeah.
And like still moves way better than any of us.
Yeah. You got that right.
You got that right. Let's see. Who else were we missing?
Jason S. Kirk.
I already got Jason. Eric didn't show up, but he's at Eric Crowbar on Twitter. Darn you, Jason. Don? I mean, darn you, Eric. Yes, Don! You know, we didn't have Don on for so long because of the eye. I started to think Don didn't exist anymore. That's not true. At HMRC4EVR.
We're going to have to tell Don that he's used up his allotment of sick time, though.
his personal leave time?
Yep. Yep.
When Don comes gonna back,
be UPTO now.
Oh, I'm going to do that.
When he comes back, I just really want Don to basically be Kano from Mortal Kombat and have the light laser eye.
And I want to be able to throw the energy knife.
Yeah, he's already got the look overall. You know, he's basically effectively bald. He just needs the cybernetic eye.
Hey, Matt, do you mind if I send the email to the mailing list asking Don about his PTO?
No, go right ahead.
I will do that as soon as we're done here. That's awesome. That makes my day. So I'm on Twitter at BKilby, on Instagram at Brian Kilby. And I have other stuff you can find at BrianKilby.com. John, how do people get a hold of you?
That John D everywhere.
Diecast.
You can get a hold of me on Twitter at Diecast2. You can follow me on Facebook at Reviews by Diecast. And you can see all my reviews at tfradio.net/reviews. Also, I think Brian made an Amazon list for me at Diecast List. Is that what it is?
See, I tried to use that once, and it wasn't there. And everybody assured me that it was there, so I thought I was crazy when I couldn't find it.
It's there. Diecast
But
list.
It's there now.
Yes. Yeah.
Did we plug Play with Photos for
yes,
Chris?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's that? tfradio.net/diecast list?
Yeah. And let's see, one more thing. If you have a Roku, our show is posted every week at Roku. tfradio.net/Roku. It takes you directly to the channel listing at Roku.com. You log into your Roku account and hit the add button, and you have us, and you can watch us each and every week. That's it. We'll see you next week.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?